welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the most amazing Vanessa Barnes. Vanessa, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you so much, Tanya. I'm just excited to be here. It's certainly a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to be able to speak this afternoon. Welcome everyone that's joined in with us. And today my topic is using passionate persistence to get what you want in life and business. It came to me when I was thinking about what I was going to speak on when we were younger. I come from a family of five siblings, and my baby sister, she is also the baby of the family, was very, very persistent. She was the one who would not give up in getting what she wanted from my parents. And I got to tell you, over time, I and my other sisters and brothers would actually use her to get what we wanted as well, because that was just part of her character. That was inherent in who she was. And so when we wanted something, we would oftentimes push her to go into the room where our parents were, and she could ask for what we all wanted. And while we were around the corner peeping through the door, to see if she could make it happen. I looked up the topic, the definition of persistence, and here's what it says on Google. It is a firm or obstinate continuance in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Now, that perfectly describes what my sister was and what we used her for. You know, it's laughable now, but I guess then it wasn't probably as funny. You know, now I'm a parent. Now I am a grandparent. I'm an entrepreneur. I think when my daughter was younger and she would have not given up in pursuing something she wanted from me, I probably could have viewed that characteristic as sort of obstinate or misbehaving. Now when I look back on it, I'm absolutely proud that it's something that I saw in her and now see in myself. I understood that if you want something, you really, really have to go after it, right? I got to tell you, I'm raising a grandson, and he's been with me now since birth. He's 16 years old. When he was in the third grade, he was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. For those of you who are not familiar, it's on the spectrum of autism. Well, one of the things I picked up on was that his lack of patience and how easily and quickly he could be pushed, you know, to a point of rage or anger. And I didn't really like that, right? So what happened is over time with persistence, I was able to take that part away from him and replace it with something that's more patient and kind, and understanding that it's okay to fail sometimes because failure is in your path or your journey to success. And see, because I lived that myself and I was able to make that transformation in my own life, I was able to teach that to him. And now because of that, I see such a calmness in him that he did not previous have. I see that because it's evident in myself. I used to be a very, very impatient person. I did not like that about myself. And I really sought, and I even prayed for God to take that away from me. I wanted to become a more patient person because when I was in the presence of other people that showed patience, there was a calmness about them, there was a peace about them that I really, really appreciated, and I wanted to have that in my life. So now, today, persistence has become the single most dominant characteristic that I personally desire to embody and that I really want to see in those people around me. Think about it. Wouldn't that be the kind of person that you would like to be around? You know, persistence to me gives me the push in my back. It's really the giddy up in my energy. It is the ultimate force that will not allow me to give up at any cost. Now, that's in my personal life, my home, my family, and it's most evident in my business life, in my network marketing career. when you set a goal, when you seek to achieve, persistence is the one thing that does not allow you to give up until you have reached that success. Now, here's something that I come up with. It's a quote that you may want to remember. Persistence breeds confidence. Over time, confidence breeds a certain attraction. And it is that attraction, the right people in your circle of influence, that breeds success. You see, over time, I've learned myself before I started speaking, and now on my journey of being a public speaker, I found that being persistent and going after that which I desire, I have seen my confidence grow in leaps and bounds. I've become a stronger person in my ideals and one who is not afraid of putting it out there in the public. You might ask yourself this question: what are the rewards of being persistent? Now, for me, it was manifested, like I said, in becoming a more patient person and really in all areas of my life. See, I learned that there was not going to be a switch to simply flip and change that impatient part of me to one of patience. I did not want to live that way, so I sought to change it. But it took a long period of time. Being persistent over a long period of time did absolutely, in effect, change my bad habit of reacting with sometimes disgust, anger, or even rage when faced with failure or anything out of my control. Now I am a very patient person. Now I enjoy a peace of mind that I personally would not have even thought possible many, many years ago. Now I can even say that stress, for me personally, is at an all-time low. And that's in my personal life as well as my business life. And what that translates to me, low stress, peace of mind, is that I can't really quantify or substantiate this, but I believe that I have literally added years of good health and even years in time to my life. And I trace that back to my personal endeavor to persistently seek to be more patient and live my life in that vein with passion, seeking to change over time that which I did not like about myself. Now, if you notice in my topic, I added that word passion to persistence. And here's what I have come to believe. I believe that passion has to do with my purpose in life. It has to do with your purpose in life. Passion attributes purpose to our heart. It's what we care about the most. It is the contributing factor in how we live. I believe for me, for Vanessa, it's my purpose to serve others. And I do that in many ways, but specifically, sometimes it has to do with just being an example, of how I walk the walk and talk the talk, being an example of just being a friend, a caring sister or aunt, and by mentoring others in business. That's part of my purpose. It's by encouraging others in business. And it's by being an example of putting others before self. Now, that's my passion. That's my purpose. Now, what does that have to do with persistence? When you're passionate about what you pursue or how you live, then persistence becomes the norm. Because now it's normal for me never to give up. Why? Because I believe that there are those out there in the world that are purposely put in my path that need what I have to give and what I'm meant to serve them by. When others are depending on you, you must be willing to do what it takes to meet their needs. In essence, you must be willing to persist to the point of not giving up until that need has been met. Again, I take that very seriously. On the same vein, persistence forces us oftentimes to think outside of the proverbial box. It oftentimes insists that we create or invent our own box. You know, when you think about famous inventors in our lifetime, inventors by their very nature are inherently, I think, very persistent. How could they not be? They are the ones who did not let failure dictate the final outcome of whatever endeavor they were pursuing. Because of this, think about this, because of this one character trait of being persistent until you got the results that you needed, some diseases have even been eradicated. Poverty is being met head on, and civil discord is in the midst of many coming together in a persistent effort to defeat it. And I'll give you an example. When I think about the disease of polio, now I grew up in a time, and many all of us have, that you know, that was not a major factor. You know, someone of the masses being attacked with this awful disease of polio. It has been eradicated. Why? I did a little research, and I found that it took from the 1930s all the way to the 1950s before Salk was credited with successfully coming up with a polio vaccine that literally eradicated the disease of polio, from the 30s to the 50s. And he was not the first person to take that challenge on. But that happened over time because of persistent effort, and now the results have been magnificent. When I think about, poverty over time, it's been a fight that the world has fought for many, many years and will continue to go on. But, you know, in my life, when I think about how it's always been there and probably always will be after I'm gone, it's not because persistent effort hasn't helped. It's just that more and more of those situations are born in the world that need that attention. But it's the persistence of those who care enough to not give up and to say, you know what, we are going to make a difference. People of persistent thought are people of persistent action. I firmly believe that. I was in the doctor's office a few years ago. You know, you're sitting in the waiting room and you're going cruising through magazines. And I came across an article that absolutely gave me a light bulb moment that day. I never forgot it. I even asked permission to take the magazine and make a copy of that page, which they allowed me to do. And that page has been on my wall for these years since I first saw it. And it was an article. It was actually in Entrepreneur Magazine. It was March of 2011 that this was written. And it was an article, an interview actually, from a guy named Paul Graham. If you've never heard of him, he's a venture capitalist for startup companies in the Silicon Valley. And they were interviewing him, and he said when he first started his business, he thought he was looking for smart people, and that was it. He said, oh, I just need to find a lot of smart people. But over time, what he really found, it turned out that intelligence to him was not as important as he expected it would be. And this was the answer that he gave. This is the profound answer that he gave. He said, if you imagine someone with 100% determination and 100% intelligence, you can discard a lot of intelligence before they stop succeeding. Think about that. You can discard a lot of intelligence before they stop succeeding. But if you discard determination, you very quickly get an ineffectual and perpetual grad student. Now, that's a direct quote from Paul Graham. So when he set out, he thought he was looking for intelligence. He found out it wasn't as important as he thought. What he really wanted was someone who was determined, who was persistent over the long haul to make happen the dream, the goals that they had come up with for themselves. I personally think that is something that I will carry with me now for the rest of my life. And what that means is that in business, and even as I teach my grandson, and you know, as he continues in school, is that people of persistent thoughts and persistent action are willing to embrace failure. Failure becomes the great, you know, way we think that it's okay to fail because it's merely a way that we get through an obstacle to reach our destination. We cannot choose quitting over continuing on our way to winning. And persistence will not allow you to choose quitting, right, on your way to winning. Another great story that I love is the one of Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison did not invent the light bulb, but he refined the light bulb. And it's written about him in another interview when he was asked about how many times it took him to perfect the light bulb. And this is what he said. I have not failed. I have just found 9,999 ways that did not work. Because, see, it was on that 10,000th time that he succeeded. And today, because he was persistent, because he chose not to quit those 9,999 times, you and I enjoy the light bulb that we have today. Years ago, well, wow, over 28 years ago now, my husband and I started our own business. This was back in the late 80s. He had gotten laid off from his job. He couldn't find a job, so we decided to become entrepreneurs. We said, we'll make our own job. And we were so excited, and we actually started with, you know, with a small lawn care service, something that he could just do himself. So he bought a truck, a trailer, one lawnmower, one weeder, one blower, weed eater, one blower, and he set out to build a business. We were so excited. We sat down, we made a business plan, we calculated what we would need to be successful. And I went straight to my dad's house to share this great news. And we were sitting at the kitchen table having coffee, and I was so excited. And I said, Dad, look, this is what we are going to do. And my dad was, you know, he came from the generation where, you know, you grew up, you went to school. If you could go to college, you'd go to college, you'd get an education, you'd get a job and a 401k, and you would call it good for the rest of your life. Well, I knew that I had something in me that just had to be an entrepreneur. So anyway, I shared with him our dream and our goal, what we were about to start. And his answer to me was, well, you know, it's going to take a lot of business to make $1,000 a month. I'll never forget that. If you could have seen me then, if you could have seen my face, it just took the wind out of my sails. I was really, really hurt because I didn't get the encouragement that I really, you know, wanted from him that day. But I walked out, and I stood out the back door, and before I got in my car, I made a decision, and I thought to myself, I love my dad. I respect him. And I was not going to let his negative opinion of what we were about to start affect my dream, my goal, and where we were going. And so I was determined. And I knew that I would persist until I would succeed, not because I just wanted to show him, look what we could do. Even though I must say now, you know, he's gone now, but if he was here, it would make me very proud if he just could see how many thousands now, how many times that 1,000 has built, you know, over these 28 years and how we've been able to fully support ourselves over the past 18 years with that business that we started. That he couldn't see a way that we could make that happen. But you see, my husband and I didn't see it that way. We knew that we had something in us that was going to make us persist until that dream came true. My passion was loving my dad. My passion was wanting to succeed in spite of the negative feedback. It was persistent in my daily action, driven by this very passion that changed the course of the next 28 years, for my husband and I. Another great story, a couple of stories that I'd like to share with you, because I really, really enjoy reading about other people that came before me who failed their way to success and had this very common thread of living life with persistent thought, with persistent action, with persistent desire, with persistent heart, with persistent caring that really made them who they eventually would become. One of those is Colonel Sanders, and I'm really drawn to Colonel Sanders because it was his age that first made me take note. He was 65 years old when he first started out to make his business. He had an old beat-up car and a $100 check from Social Security, and he realized that he had to do something. And he remembered his mother's recipe, and he went out selling, and I don't know exactly, but how many doors did he have to knock on before he got his first order? Now, it's been estimated that he knocked on more than 1,000 doors before he got his first order. Now, think about all of us that, you know, I enjoy the KFC, and that's a free advertisement for them, but they have that grilled chicken that I love. But I would not be able to enjoy that today if Colonel Sanders had stopped knocking after 999 doors. How many of us quit after try number 3 or try number 10 or how many of us quit after several people tell us it'll never work, it can't happen? How many of us do that? Because of Colonel Sanders, I am reliving my own persistence every day. I'm determined to persist until there is no other option. Now, I'm going to end with this. Right this year, between Christmas and New Year, my husband and I are taking our grandkids to Disney World. It's a dream that we've had since my grandson was much younger, and we've always promised him that we were going. And as we prepare for that, I had to put together our budget. And it's estimated that between, $3,000 and $7,000, I think, is what we will need to make that trip a great trip. But here's the thing. When Walt Disney was young, he was rejected by many newspaper editors who told him he didn't have any talent, he lacked imagination, and no original ideas. One day, someone gave him the chance. He would not quit. I can't go into the whole story now, but there's stories about when he looked over the land that he wanted to purchase for his first theme park, and people told him he was crazy, it would never work. Wow, how many people would have received now what he was able to do? I think not many, as a matter of fact. But this is why I'm here today, because I want to inspire everyone that's listening to this virtual summit today and all the many great speakers and topics that we're able to listen to, that if we take away nothing else, we take away that there are those before us who has proven what we're saying is true. Now, our obligation, our responsibility today is to leave these same words, maybe massage them and maybe put them in a different modern vernacular that others can understand and take forward with technology or what have you. But if the lives we're living today, the examples we're setting, and for me personally, it's my passion to care for others, to leave the world better than I found it. And it's my passion that drives my persistence. It's my persistence that makes me know I'm going to do what I am doing until I have no other option. And for me, that will be the day that I'll no longer be here. Thank you so much. And I know it's almost time for our break. And enjoy your break. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Oh, by the way, if you have desires to ask me any questions, here's my phone number. It's 281-546-2922. 727. I am here in the Texas, Houston, Texas area. I also would like to offer a free gift, if you will. It is my V.A. Barnes 5 Must for Effective Team Leadership. And to receive that, you simply need to request it. My email address is info@V as in Vanessa, A, B as in boy, A-R-N-E-S.com. That's info@VABarnes.com. 5 Musts for Effective Team Leadership. Thank you very much.